Gway, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Spilling Labrador Tea Under Cedar Trees with Kate and Mads. How's it going? Yeah.
Welcome back. Well, now the tables have turned and I am somewhere else again.
But at least the interviewee is on your side.
This is true.
Yeah. Usually it's like three parties everywhere else, but at least we've got it where at least someone gets to meet the person that we're calling.
Yes, we are joining you from the traditional unceded territories of the Algonquin and Anishinaabe people in Gatineau / Ottawa.
We're very excited to be spreading out, and we get to meet new people and explore new territories, and we're looking forward to being able to see what's in store with that. But we are still on our colonial journey, as in the last episodes. And so where are we today, Caitlin?
I think we need to fix that phrasing because it sounds like we're the ones that's colonizing.
We are colonizing.
We are still in the circumpolar and we're going to Greenland.
Mm-hmm. We are very excited. So I think we're doing like this weird traveling back and forth, but like not in Canada, but like still very close, which I think is kind of cool that you've gotten to meet new people that like we're getting to explore some new areas. And so I'm very excited to get to meet Nivi. Nivi, did you want to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello. Uanga atrakpunga Nivi Rusing, numinga napunga kelasnan. Hi, my name is Nivi. I'm from Nuuk, Gelasid Nunat, or Greenland, colonial name. And I'm a student at Nunavut Simoniksevut. I'm studying Inuit studies. I actually just finished all my courses like 3 days ago. And I'm a co-chairwoman at Arctic Youth Network. Besides that, I'm a fellow at Arctic Resilient Communities Youth Fellowship. I'm really passionate about Pan-Arctic cross-border knowledge sharing and have been exploring colonialism in Canada and in Greenland the past like 3 years.
Yay! You're done your coursework!
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm like, I don't know, I had some expectations to the program and like it was crazy, like it was like I thought it was going to be academic but it was so personal. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to share about that because it was like a really healing for me.
Mm-hmm.
For policy work as well, like I used to think that making a change has to be on colonial level, on government level, but I have really really changed my perspective to traditional ways of living. And yeah, it's crazy.
Wow. We're so excited to hear about it.
Yeah. Oh my god. Everyone's educational journeys on these last few episodes have been amazing, and so I'm really excited to hear some more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to start off with that, you're more than welcome to dive into that, and then we can kind of go from there.
Yeah. So, I think, like, I have to say that not everyone in Greenland thinks like me. Like, my perspective has changed a lot the past 3 years, and I don't want to represent the whole country. Like, mm-hmm. It's more personal.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be really ashamed of my identity because I feel like in Greenland, like, we got colonized 300 years ago, so way earlier than I would say Nunavut.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't have elders who were born traditionally. We're really like assimilated, especially where I'm from the capital. So I used to have really high standards academically to myself, which is also the reason why I moved to Canada. I moved here to pursue medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also used to think that Inuit are the only Indigenous people in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Until I came to BC. And I had Indigenous classmates that are First Nations, and they were really passionate about decolonizing, and I didn't really understood what it was for a really long time. But then just talking to them and talking about history, I was like, holy shit, I need to work on myself. Because, like, I don't know, like, I used to always try to be something that I'm not, like, even though, like, I will always be Inuk, I'm born Inuk, like, why would I try to change that? And so I found out that you can actually study Indigenous Studies, and I was really, really surprised by that. So I chose to apply to Nunavut to Nunavut. And even there, my perspective has changed so much. Like learning about Inuit social culture, Inuit history, land claims, and governing systems. Like, I think like at home, I only learned about European history, and I always felt dumb because I can literally not relate to it. But then having courses that are Indigenous based, like I found it like not easy, but like not that hard. Like I was like, oh my God, this is how other people feel when they study their own history. Like, it's not that hard. But I always like, I thought like I was the worst student for a long time because like I was not interested in a lot of courses back home. I had lack of interest and I had really bad grades. But then now, like, I'm like sometimes A plus student, and I'm like, it's literally because it's about my own history. And like, and then I used to always think that Indigenous ways of living are ancient, but now I'm like, holy shit, we need to put Indigenous knowledge within governing systems, mm-hmm. just like climate action, mm-hmm. like holy shit. And in Inuit culture, we have System of Anna or Sedna, mm-hmm. and I think like she's the pure evidence that Inuit knows how to lead climate action. We just don't have the space for that. And I really want governing systems to listen to Indigenous knowledge, because like our knowledge is science as well. Mm-hmm. Like there's a reason why we have like over like so many words for snow, because snow is just not snow for us. It's like the slightest change can affect the whole like just like by what is it called, like hunting and yeah. dog sledding. And yeah, I really wish to see more Inuit experts on climate action.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for yeah. sure.
That's so interesting. Like, I tell the story of like Nululiak Sedna quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And I always learn something each time I tell that story, uh-huh. right? But I think that's the first time it's been shown to me to think about it as climate action.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because literally, like, I don't like to call it subsistence economy, but like our Inuit way of living, it's like you don't like you only take what you need, you share what you have, you share what you know. Like, she's literally climate action, mm-hmm. and I wish she was put into policy, because we try to be so innovative all the time. Oh, we need a PhD, mm-hmm. like, and I wish we could just look back on what has worked for hundreds of years. Because that there is, it's literally evident that we know how to take care of our planet. But like, it's just ridiculous that we just can't listen to it. It's just knowledge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even like the part of the story where people go down and like brush her hair to take mm-hmm. care of her. Like, mm-hmm.
oh, there's a pollution. Like, yeah. even before plastic was a thing, we knew like
yeah.
there's pollution and we need to take care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's been... I've been very privileged that I've gotten to hear all these stories from Caitlin, and even like when she started learning more Inuktitut, and then like the being like, holy shit, there's so many different words for snow, and me being like, oh my God. And then kind of thinking about it, you're like, that makes sense that like in the environment that you live in, like you're going to develop more language around that. And then your stories are going to be, you know, coincide with what's going on and what's important. So it's we've had that ongoing conversation with a lot of people of being like the language and the stories, like they're very, very important, not only for our people and our culture, but also just for like knowledge of like the land in general. And because like if you're living it and like you were living hardcore on it, you're gonna have a better understanding than people who are just showing up. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and another thing I have really explored while being here is time management. I really struggle with time management. But then I heard, like, I was talking to my my French teacher, like, he's a French teacher,
mm-hmm.
and I was just talking about our Inuit language and how how hard it is for white people to learn our language, and I was just telling him how we form sentences. And he was like, oh my God, it's because you guys know you're not in the center of the universe. Like,
mm-hmm.
say, I like apple, and then we say, ibilit mamalewekka. It's like you change the ending, like apple like me, like you're the last. And it's like, and it made so much sense. Like we are not trying to control nature. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have months, like we don't have January, February. We have like other months, and they're not changed, like they're not controlled by us. It's nature controlling
us.
Mm-hmm. Like it made so much sense. And then I watched a documentary called The Last Eyes, and where this hunter, he was saying like he don't need a watch when he's out hunting, because you can't really say, oh, I'm gonna hunt seals next Thursday, because you don't know if it's gonna be appropriate weather next week. And I'm like, that is why I cannot have time management, because like it's inherited that I don't try to control nature. Mm-hmm. And it has really helped me to think that way.
Yeah. I've never thought about it.
Right?
Yeah.
And it shows like apple like me, right? Like it shows our relationship to it differently, and that the nature actually comes first and we're just actively a part of it. Which is like super fascinating.
Yeah.
Right? And like the time of the year where like the tuktu lose their
antlers.
More descriptive.
There's also, I don't remember the exact word, but when seal pups are born.
Yeah.
That's about March. For
yeah.
Calendar time? Yeah. But it's just like when seal pups are born. Yeah. So like, yeah. I still struggle with time management, but thinking that way has really helped me a lot.
Yeah, definitely. Like, also time's like so relative. I don't even get me started on like due dates. Like, I can't.
I mean, we literally live with someone who runs on Indian time frequently, so.
And I was also thinking about something else. What was it? About time management. I forget. I had a really good point. No clue. I might find it.
You might find it later.
Yeah.
It's okay. Just to go back to like one of the points that you had, that Greenland was colonized like 300 years ago. Do you want to speak a little bit more into that?
Yeah. So Greenland was colonized by a Norwegian Danish priest, and I found it really interesting how Greenland was colonized compared to other Inuit Nunavut, because he actually came to Greenland to save, quote unquote, save the Vikings that were left in Greenland, because they had not yet converted to, what is it, it's not Catholicism, it's the other one.
Christianity?
Yeah, but some kind of other
Presbyterian
way.
I can Lutheran, list all of them.
Lutheran.
Yeah.
I was gonna be like Lutheran is the only other one I can think of.
And then when he arrived to Genesik Nunat, he realized like all the Vikings are already gone. And he met Inuit, and he was like, oh my god, these poor people, I need to save these. Like, it's literally in his diary how we need to become humans before we can convert to Christianity. And I found it funny because like other Inuit Nunavut have been colonized because of land resource. Mm-hmm. But for us, it was like pure mental. Like he was not interested in our land or spices or whatever. It was purely to Christianize us. And I think that has really formed the way post-colonial culture is in Greenland. I was talking to one of the co-founders of Inuit Circumpolar Council from Alaska, and he was telling me that around the 70s, when they were fighting for Aboriginal rights, Alaska and Canada Inuit were worried about their land, but Greenland Inuit were worried about their language, because we have a different kind of relationship with our colonial government than North American. For us it was like more mental colonialism we had, of course, for everyone, but like that was the pure motivation. And I think that's why we are so assimilated, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, I have met Inuit from Nunavut who told, like, who were in Greenland, and they were like, oh my god, you guys are so civilized.
Oh, wow, yeah, yeah.
Because we eat our Inuit food with plates.
Oh my gosh.
What do you mean? And they were like, we eat with cardboard. And now, like a year, like 1 year after now, I eat it with cardboard. It's so much more convenient. But like, I just found it funny that the others were saying that we're so civilized. Like, Nuuk especially, like, we have four, what is it called? Post-secondary institutions.
Oh wow. Mm-hmm.
And we're very like education minded in Nuuk, but of course I can't speak for other parts of Greenland because there's a huge barriers. Like, if you're from East Greenland, if you want to go up to 10th grade, you have to move to West Greenland all alone, and that's like 600-700 kilometers. So there's huge barriers in Greenland for education, and sadly, we only credit people with education, and we don't really value lived experience. And that has been really hard for me to be involved in like the colonial movement, which is also why I took Inuit studies, because I was like, I need to somehow weaponize myself and make me more like credible. But it's a huge taboo, decolonialism in Greenland. I was actually trying to get my Inuit status because to another Camosun college in Victoria.
That's where we went, that's how we became best friends.
Oh, yes. So yeah. I applied for the Indigenous Studies program.
Yeah.
And they offered me domestic tuition if I could prove my Inuit heritage. Because they recognized that, oh, I should be as equal as Inuit that are studying at Camosun.
Yeah.
So they told me, this is an unofficial document. If someone from Greenland can sign it and verify that you're Inuk, then you'll get domestic tuition.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm like, and I was like, easy, I'm Inuit, I'm Inuk, this is gonna be the easiest thing ever. So I emailed our municipal, I emailed department, like Government of Greenland, Department of Culture and International Affairs, and they all said, no, it's discriminatory. Because of European human rights, that states that you cannot differentiate someone or treat someone differently based on their ethnicity.
Oh my gosh.
They chose to use European human rights rather than UN Declaration of Indigenous Peoples' Rights that states that we have the right to self-determination.
Yeah.
And the worst part is that these politicians are Inuit. They are my own people. And I was trying really hard. The Parliament of Greenland had a conversation about it. And like, now they're talking about an Inuit registry. But because of the European human rights, it's just impossible to get it. So I had no way of proving my Indigenous heritage. So I chose not to attend because international tuition is like...
It's really expensive.
Yeah, it's four times higher. And I just felt so like... annoyed, because if this was Denmark who said I can't get that, I would have been totally fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's literally your own people, like,
it hurts more.
It hurts a lot. And then I was doing, like, I did an article with some news in Greenland, and the comments were not fun. Like, they just... In Greenland, like, of course not everyone, but a lot of people have the attitude that why decolonize? We're all equal. We're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, really fucking annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was called, like, that I'm discriminatory. Even though, like, I'm literally Inuk. Like, how is that discriminatory to anyone else? I've been trying like to work with this issue because I know other people who want their Inuit heritage verified, like for other stuff, like if you want like indigenous drums from other parts of the world, like they require such things, and we just can't get our heritage. And we do have an Inuit Circumpolar Council, but of course they're not an authority, so they can't really sign my paper because it has to be an authority. So it's really sad. And yeah, it's weird. Even though we literally left the European Union long time ago. So like European human rights, they're not even supposed to count.
Yeah. That's interesting.
It's also very frustrating. Oh my gosh.
It is. Like, I just felt like my right to education was like taken away just like that. Because we don't have an indigenous studies in Greenland or in Denmark, of course, it's Scandinavia. So like, even like if I were to study indigenous studies or something similar, like it would really, really benefit Greenland, in my opinion, like political, educational wise. But it's just really hard when you have like this assimilated culture.
Okay, point one for Kmosin for not recognizing colonial barriers.
Right? I love that.
I think
that.
We finally made a difference in that school.
We did. High five. I mean, ISD is also like, that entire program has completely changed as well from the sounds of it. And I was like, do I want to go back? Like, let's take it again.
Yeah, that's how we became friends.
I have heard about that. Like, ever since, like, I'm kind of glad I didn't go because I was talking to someone else and she told me like it's very, very outdated. I don't know if that's true. I believe it.
I think they've done some revamping, but I still it's probably not exactly where it needs to be or could be, but still proud to hear that they're like looking at the barriers of being like, nah, as long as you can prove that you're indigenous to here somehow, like.
Right, it's like you're an indigenous person. We don't recognize colonial borders.
Yeah.
Like, nice.
Right? Good for you, Kmosin.
Yeah. You get one.
1 point.
Yeah, I was so grateful that they even offered me that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't see a lot of other institutions.
No.
No.
Money grabbing is what those other institutions do.
Yeah.
They like that international fee. Yeah.
They do love their international fees.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But at NS, or Nunavut Siwanisiwut, I'm actually the first international student, which is very interesting because when I came there, like, a lot of my, like, a lot of people, like, told me that they view Greenland as, like, this cultural hub. Because we have so much language.
Mm-hmm.
I think like we're the nation in the world that have the most fluent native speakers, around 80%.
Wow.
That's impressive. Yeah.
So all my friends, family, they speak Galatlisut. We have so many resources. Obviously when you have 300 years of like academics, there's a lot of resources. I think around 1860s or something, we had our first bachelor of theology, of course.
Whoa.
but since then we had academics, so we have a lot of resources in Galatlisut. And even if you're non-Inuk moving to Greenland as a child, you have to take Greenlandic courses. And it's required to have Greenlandic credits when you want to graduate high school. So I feel like Greenland, we could really share a lot of these resources with other Inuit Nunangat. And Nunavut and Greenland, we have just signed some kind of agreement back in September of more cooperation.
Oh.
And I'm really hoping we can cooperate like on educational level.
Yeah.
Because I heard like in Nunavut, there's the Alberta curriculum.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since the creation of Nunavut, it's been Alberta curriculum.
Wow.
What a curriculum.
Yep.
What a fun curriculum to choose from.
I love that for us.
I just wish we had some kind of Inuit credit system, like, educational-wise, like, because, like, so many of us young people, we don't feel relatable to the educational context. Like, why are we supposed to learn about European history or, like, European culture, like, when we can learn about ourselves, like, literally, biology, Inuit diet, like, hunting. Like, there's math in hunting. There's biology in hunting. Yeah. Like, there's so much science in our ways of living. And I just don't get why we don't explore that.
No, and, like, even the idea that, you know, folks have to go south. Like, people have to go south to go to NS to, like, learn these things instead of being able to learn. But we also know that there's somewhat of a movement towards having a university in Nunavut.
Yeah, ITK, right? Yeah, I just hope that they will really make a difference.
Yeah, make it community-driven.
Because I feel like it can be so harmful at the same time if you don't do it right.
Yeah.
Like, literally creating a space for Inuit and not have space for Inuit. Like, that would be really, really sad, because this is such a huge opportunity for so much good and growth that we literally have to take it and do good. And I'm just, like, crossing my fingers.
Me too.
Yeah, there's also needs to be more of a movement to, like, also acknowledge and recognize more lived experience within the education system as well. And land-based learning too. Because, like, I imagine if you go out and do a lot of things within community, like, that should go towards your education as well, like, be counted. But we're still working on upgrading the education system.
I think we will for a really long time.
Yeah. They're like, there's nothing wrong with it. It's not broken. You're like, why are so many Indigenous people not graduating? But, you know.
Literally, like, and, like, I was talking to someone that I know in Greenland, and she worked within education, and she used to have that mindset that, oh, we're just too spoiled, we just need to tighten up and do it. But then when she started working within education, she realized that when dropout rate is more than 50%, it's not the student's responsibility. It's a broken system. Because, if the dropout rate was like 10%, then we can look at individual students, right? But if it's literally more than 50, then it cannot be on the students. It's literally the system, a broken system. And even at NS, like, the dropout rate is high. And then I got a different perspective. Like, if we sent 50 people from a whole different culture to Nunavut, I'm pretty sure the dropout rate would be high too. Like, if we just assimilated them into our ways of living within 1 year, it would still be high. And I just think we're just too hard on ourselves regarding education. Like, it's like I've seen people who drop out, like, even at home, who feels like shit. Like, they have no purpose in life just because of barriers. And, like, even in Greenland, like, our teachers would always threaten us, like, oh, if you don't do your homework, you'll become a fisherman. But then I look at my friends who became fishermen, and they make so much more than me. I'm like, make it make sense. How is it bad being a fisherman?
People need to eat.
Literally.
My favorite.
It's like, don't threaten me with a good time.
It's like looking at people who are delivery drivers working at Canada Post. You'd be like, we always need mail. Things always need to be delivered.
Literally.
Always gonna need fish, everybody.
Okay? Always gonna need farmers. It's interesting, that's for sure. So from that, like, what have you seen be done back home, or, like, things that you've seen here that you kind of would like to take back home? Like, what decolonial processes or, like, reclamation do you see for your culture, or just to revitalize anything that had been lost?
So I know in Greenland what is happening right now is dunnit, or facial tattoos. Mm. It's still like a bit taboo, like, especially when you do it. Like, I wanted to have one on my face when I was home for a break. Like, I was so excited to get it. And then, like, some of my friends told me that it would ruin my face. Mm-hmm. And it just hurts because I'm really close with these people. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely a lot of the attitude. Even though we have a lot of amazing decolonial baddies, mm-hmm. we also have a lot of non-decolonial baddies. Mm-hmm. But I see so many people getting dunnit, and I'm so happy because, like, it's just a sign of, like, revitalization and, like, but then some people are like, oh, you should only get the tattoos that is in your region, but, like, we're nomadic people, like, I don't know.
Yeah,
so I'm planning on getting my dunnit when I get my graduation certificate. Aww. Just to kind of, like, and I'm doing it to beautify myself. Mm-hmm. Just that's how it's also done. Mm-hmm. Back then, and I'm really excited, and I just had to really, really, like, not let my friends influence me. But it's becoming really normalized, but also not. Mm-hmm. Like, I know some people, like, in the decolonial activism area who get blacklisted from jobs.
Oh, wow.
Just because they're really vocal about their opinions. Mm-hmm. About Denmark and history. But one thing I would like to see is more community-based projects, like drumming or throat singing or sewing, because I see so many youth in Nunavut who knows how to throat sing, who knows mm-hmm. how to drum. I'm like, I don't know any single person back home that knows how to do that, and I would really love to see it. Like, I have classmates who literally learned how to throat sing when they were, like, 5 years yeah. old. I'm like, oh my god, I wish we had that. Like, I don't know if I can even call it a privilege, but for me, it is. So I would really love to see that. And I see a future where Nunavut and Greenland work together. Mm-hmm. Greenland helps Nunavut with language. Nunavut helps Greenland with cultural practices. And just kind of acknowledging Inuit identity. I would love to see that. Like, even lighting the kulluk or kulluk. Mm-hmm. I learned how to do that at NS. But in Greenland, our kulluks, they're like our decor. And our ulus are decor as mm-hmm. well. Like, oh. We don't really use it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I mean, some people do, but not as much normalized as Nunavut. Mm-hmm. Like, literally at home, my mom, she has a mini ulu, and it's just for decor. My grandma, she have a kulluk, and it's for decor. And I have not seen that in Nunavut.
Yeah, no, yeah. No, we use them. But mine is currently decor. But
you try to use it, though. You try to use it.
So actually, our other roommate uses it to chop vegetables.
That's right.
So.
Wow.
She's like, I'm going to use this.
So good. Like, so innovative.
And the frozen fish, too. She gets in there with the frozen fish. Yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's more, but, like, these are, like, very specific things mm-hmm. I'd like to see.
No, those are, they feel pretty simple and straightforward, like, things to be implemented. But I mean, if you've got, like, a large group of people that are, like, so assimilated and don't see why it's important to have these things, then that obviously just makes it so much harder. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even just getting funding for it, it's hard. But I know, like, in Nuuk, there's some young women who are doing kulluk lighting at some public schools. Mm. And it started, like, last year. And that's really, really good. Mm-hmm. But definitely it needs to be more broad, not just the capital mm-hmm. city.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. Right? Gotta get on that social media. Start a TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Light the lamp.
Yeah.
I actually did that. Yeah. There's like a competition with government of Nunavut.
Oh, really?
And I posted a video of lighting it, and I'm just like hoping I'll win. Because there's like six winners winning. So I'm like, please, please.
Nunavut. NTI puts on some pretty good contents. Not gonna lie.
Like, even that I would like to see in Greenland. Like, just, like, from the government, like, a contest. Mm-hmm. Like, that's amazing. Like, encouraging people to practice your culture. Mm-hmm.
And, like, I can totally relate with, like, the journey of, like, the Dunit. And I just got mine in September when I came back from Tanzania. Mm-hmm. But, like, definitely had to, like, slowly introduce them to my body. Like, starting with my wrists and then moving to my fingers. Uh-huh. And then my thighs and then my face.
To, like, did your surroundings... Was it positive? Was there any...
It's been good. Good. But obviously, like, you do get, like, I was just telling Madeline the other, last night, that I was in IKEA over the weekend.
Oh, God.
With somebody who's, like, non-Indigenous. Mm-hmm. And he's super, super lovely. And we're walking through IKEA. And I also think I'm, like, one of the few, like, Indigenous people he knows, let alone, like, the only Inuk he knows. Uh-huh. And we're walking through IKEA and we're talking, and then we're putting the table back together, and just like a stranger was like, I like your dots. And I went, thank you. And he goes, do they go all the way around? And I was like, no. So like, it's an interesting line to walk of being like, people come up to me like, oh, they're so beautiful, right? Like, oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. There's practicality behind it too. And then folks being like saying wild things in the middle of IKEA. You kind of have to like be like, oh, well.
Just yelling wisdom eyes at you.
Yeah, that too. When we were in Alaska, an artist jumped up and he's like, wisdom eyes. And I was like, excuse me?
Are you hitting on me? What's happening?
Oh,
so people make jokes?
Not quite. Some make jokes. Others, I think, it's something that they've never seen before, and so like they get excited or they're just like very curious and say weird things. And like you want to be like, you're saying something weird.
Literally,
you're being weird, you're making it weird. I'm not weird.
The confidence of a white man.
The confidence.
Literally. Yeah. Oh my god. And even like, I know someone who have to meet, and an old man told her like if she was a convict. Oh my god! And this was in Canada, like here in Ottawa, and something. Yeah, I also want to talk about racism. Mm-hmm. Holy shit! When I lived in BC, I never once experienced microaggression or racism, but here in Ottawa, it's another story. Mm. Like one time I was going to this pub at Byward with my classmates, and the security is like, you guys aren't welcome here. You were like, last week you were causing trouble. And I'm like, bro, I've never been here before, ever. And he's like, but you were here. And then I was like, oh, can I see some proof, like a video footage? He's like, no, I recognize you. I'm like, holy shit, I literally never ever been here. Just because I'm Inuk, he's like racially profiling me. Mm-hmm. And even just like going to Shoppers, where like, I had seen on TikTok many times where there's people express like making jokes about being followed by security. And then now when I go with my friends who are Indigenous, like being watched, it's so weird. Cause it's like, oh my God, like, they're really racially profiling me. And it's weird. Like, I have experienced racism in Denmark before a lot when I went to a Christian boarding school. But I was kind of like desensitized because because of my surroundings were so decolonial. Mm-hmm. I was living in this little fantasy world where there's no discrimination or racism. Mm-hmm. And then coming here and it's like, holy shit. It's weird. Like, having to think about how you look or your ethnicity when going places, and like, am I safe? Mm-hmm. Like, even walking alone here, it's scary because like, it's not safe as a young Inuk. Like, it's crazy. And like in Denmark, the racism was different because they just thought I was Asian and they were just like racist towards Asians. And Denmark is the fourth most racist Western European country.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of racism in Denmark. They're really not tolerant over people of color. And I just remember when I used to live there, there's just a lot, especially like alcoholism. Like they have a lot of, what is it called? Prejustice? No, what is it
Predisposition?
Called? Yeah, that word. And like, it's just like, I don't know. It's sad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know like, here it's also way worse for like other people of color.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we're literally in 2023, like how can we still
mm-hmm.
experience racism?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, I did not know that about Denmark. That's all right.
Even though they're supposedly the happiest
country. Yeah, I was like, that's definitely not the line that we are given here in Canada.
And like, it's even hard to talk about that because I remember I was a tourist guide last summer and it was for American tourists. So I talked a lot about the relationship between Greenland and Denmark. And I remember one time I was mentioning that Denmark is one of the most racist countries in Western Europe. And apparently there was Danes in my group. And like this man came over to me and he was like, it was very interesting what you said about Denmark. And I was just like, oh my god, don't pretend that you're American, please just say you're Danish.
Yeah.
And I was like, I understand Danish. And he kept speaking English to me with the thickest Danish accent. And I was like, hello, I can speak Danish. And then finally he started being like, I don't understand why you say that, because you guys get free education, you guys get free healthcare, you can take as many degrees as you want and you can get paid to get an education. And he kind of like took over my guiding to the rest of the group.
Oh, that's so uncomfortable.
And I was like, oh my god, you're like the living proof of what I just stated. Like, you're literally proving my point.
Yeah.
And that's really the attitude that, like, there's this song called Intro to Decolonization by Inuk rapper from Greenland. And we have two Greenland parliament members of Parliament of Denmark. And one of our Inuk parliament members, she was touching base about getting an apology from the government of Denmark because of the history between us. And he was saying that it's so crazy that she can say that when maybe American Inuit are jealous of Greenland because of our amazing relationship, and that apology is never gonna happen.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it was like in the building of the parliament, like it was literally public.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I would say that's the huge attitude towards Inuit in our kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also always forget that Denmark is kingdom.
Oh god, I forgot about that.
Yeah, we're huge royalists.
Oh. I think we always forget about Denmark.
Well, now we never will.
For those who listen to us in Denmark, sorry, but also not sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
We're here to educate, not make friends.
Yeah. Yeah, another thing I noticed between Canada and Denmark is that I see a lot of white Canadians advocating for indigenous rights, but I really don't see that in Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And I really wish to see Dane allies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just praying it will happen soon because we need those allies.
Mm-hmm.
And there is so many here, like so many. Like, I know there's a lot of racism, but there's also so many allies from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of like so jealous that, because like we really need allies to make like a change within policy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish we had that.
Definitely. It's definitely taken like this country has had like a bit of like a reckoning when it's come to our relationship. And I think it really came with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that really made Canadians, all of us take a hard look at ourselves and kind of determine where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we had a second reckoning with replacing power in place, the report for missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and diverse people. Mm-hmm. Also made us take a hard look at ourselves and continue to look in the mirror and decide what kind of people we want to be.
Mm-hmm. That's, truth and reconciliation. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's obviously been some more frequent stuff, like with Kamloops and everything like that, like the discovering of the children. Like, I feel like that's like was a huge part for especially the older generations to be like, oh no, kind of thing.
It was not thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
I would say that's also the kind of movement that is happening slowly in Greenland. I think two years ago or something, 1 year ago, a podcast came out from the Danish national broadcasting about IUD inserts on Inuit women, because more than 50% of fertile Inuit were affected, and it was an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And the live birth rate dropped by 64% from the 70s to the 80s.
Oh.
And people try to say it's baby boom, but Denmark was only affected by 21%, like drop of live births. And it also affected Inuit living in Denmark. So it was not a, they tried to say it was a financial reason because Greenland was growing so fast and it was a financial liability on Denmark. So they put out this so-called IUD campaign, and it was as young as 13-year-old young woman who didn't even know what an IUD was. There was no consent, but it was by the government of Denmark to kind of protect Inuit, even though like it's not very protect. And even as far as 2019, gynecologists, they still find these IUDs that these women didn't know they had.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And also has been an apology because Denmark sent some Inuit children to Denmark to kind of civilize them. They called it like, the experiment to see, to kind of, the hope was that we send the smartest Inuit children to Denmark and we assimilate them and they can move back home to influence their families. But the thing was like, they never returned back to their families.
Mm-hmm.
They were on the ship and these children thought they were going home, but they were like, nope, we're going to Nuuk, and you're going to this orphanage, and you cannot see your family, and you cannot speak your language. And I think, like, we didn't have residential schools, but there was a time where, within, I don't know, 20, 30 years, where they sent 9,000 Inuit children to Denmark. And it's really not talked about, even though we as a society, we know it happened,
mm-hmm.
but on a government level, we don't really talk about it. Just because it's taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, even for me, like, I don't even know that much, but I know it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's still happening. Like, there's a lot of Inuit living in Denmark. Like, I don't have the exact number, but there's a lot. And parents who get their children taken away is way higher than Danes because they have this parental test that is culturally inappropriate.
Mm.
And they have found out doing some studies that some children were being taken away without like a valid reason, just because of this culturally inappropriate test that are based on Danish values and way of living. So it's still happening.
Gotta love the colonial playbook.
Yeah.
Because those things happen in Canada, right? Mm-hmm. The forced sterilization of Indigenous women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The high rates of kids in care, still thriving.
Right.
Yeah, I even read a study in Vancouver Island in Port Alberni.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors would get $300 per sterilization with or without consent.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, I think $300 was probably like $3,000.
Yeah.
And I was just so crazy to read that while I lived in Victoria.
Yeah.
It was like, but it was really hard to find these documents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I had to dig. I couldn't just look up sterilizations.
No, I didn't fully understand the extent either, because the Nanaimo, one of the Indian hospitals in Nanaimo that was originally there, was also a very large culprit for a lot of that as well. And I didn't know any of that until I read the book Medicine Unbundled. And then, oh my God, that was just, it's hard to hear and, well, read, but to like see people's stories and know that like this isn't well-known information kind of thing, and but it is within our communities, like they know, like that's why we don't go to doctors, right? We like something always happens, or somehow I come back sicker than I was when I went in, and yeah, so it's just,
and somehow it's my fault.
And then like the lack of data that they do on indigenous people just to look good, or like, it's crazy because I think like they're hiding a lot of statistics from the public about the well-beings of indigenous peoples, just because they don't want to take responsibility. And like, ugh, I just hate colonial systems.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is why we do this.
Yeah. That's how we have the whole podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, it's a struggle, and the fact that like people think it's over and it's done, and we're like, no, it's definitely still ongoing. It just, they've made it look different and they're calling it something else. And so it's just recognizing like what the elements look like, because like you got to know kind of the tactic and not necessarily the name of it is the key part to recognizing how colonialism is still ongoing within our society.
Yeah, even like our people are colonizing our people. Assimilation. Yeah. Like, even I learned about dog slaughter in Nunavut, and it's like so evident that assimilation is really like it's real.
Yeah,
and it's so harmful, like assimilating this hard, and yeah, just fuck colonialism.
But I think it's very beautiful that you're getting all this education and that you're wanting to like learn more and that you're wanting to take it back and try to implement that in your own community and to be like, look at what we can do. Look how beautiful we are.
Like literally my realization was like 5 years ago when I was, do you know Students on Ice expedition?
Yes.
I was in Students on Ice and it was the summer after my year in Christian boarding school where I was really ashamed of my identity. But then I was with like 50 or the other Inuit and just seeing them being proud of our culture, like it really like did something with my brain. I was like, oh my God, like they are proud, like how am I not proud? And like that's also why like I learned about Nunavut Siwuniksewut, because we were there for like a couple of days for a pre-program where we learned quickly about like history, and that's where like I learned a bit, like a tiny bit, and it really shifted my mindset a bit, but it has just evolved ever since.
Definitely.
Yeah,
I've looked at going to NS a couple times, but here I am in geography. Not geology.
Calligraphy. That's the other one.
Well, I was in geology. Studying maps.
People. You're mostly studying people.
People. I am.
Is it Camosa still?
I'm doing my master's at UVic.
Oh my God. I really want to do their language vocalization program.
You can do it in Nunavut.
Yeah. I'm waiting. Like, I'm hoping I can get my permanent residency. Just because it's an asshole tuition. It's just like,
it's just brutal. It is. It's
brutal. And I really love to stay here on Turtle Island, because there's like a movement here that I want to be a part of, and take back eventually to Greenland. Not right now because I don't have opportunities with my degree, but here like I feel like I have endless of projects I can join in on, working groups, like I just don't see that at home.
Do you want Do you want to ask your world famous question?
Do you want to ask my world famous question? So it doesn't be in no particular order, mm-hmm. and it's not permanent.
It's a living document.
Yeah, I'm writing this preface now because people were getting so annoyed.
They were like, I can't.
Yeah. Okay, what are your three favorite things about being Enoch?
Oh my god. How do I even prioritize? One of them is our...
You're back. You're good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Our food, mm-hmm. just because I love our food. They're so mature and amazing. And then one second one is the stories of our ancestors. It's literally the law of the land,
yep.
our stories. Like, even the story of the moon and the sun, it's literally a law. Like, but it's just not a written law. It's just a story, you know? Third, oh my god, just my people. Like, my fellow Inuit. I love connecting with Inuit, like, and just, like, seeing our similarities. Oh, I love it so much. And I really wish we had the opportunities to do that more. Because, like, just for me being here 1 year, like, I wish that other Inuit had the opportunity to see how fucking amazing we are. Mm-hmm. Like, all of us. And, yeah, just, I love everything, though.
And I was like so glad to get here, and I was like, I can get some country food now.
It's so accessible here.
It's so accessible here.
Yeah, because in Victoria, I never had it. Not once.
No.
Like, I think the closest thing I got was halibut from the market.
There's one grocery store that has Arctic char, mm-hmm. and like, buddy knows me. Yeah.
Where?
The market on Gates.
That's what.
That's where you went.
Yeah, never once did I get Inuit food, but here, like, I literally last week I had matdek and duttu at school, and it's like, and it's not, it's like frequent. It's not like every once a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to try to get some matdek before I leave. You
should. Just gorge yourself on it and be like, this is fine.
I'm fine. I didn't bring any ulus with me.
But I know TI, with their food bank, they have traditional food.
Okay.
Sometimes. Yeah. Like, Arctic char, matdek, yeah.
I'll bring it into the Kuso office. I'll bring my muktak into the Kuso office.
You're like, anyone have an ulu? Anyone?
Give it to me. Give it to me.
It's a really thick knife. I can do that too. I bet they would love that. You're like, gather around.
Have a taste.
Bring me some cardboard, let's go.
Who's got the soy sauce?
Yeah. Aramid.
Oh my goodness. Well, that was lovely. And we're very honored that you were able to come and share your story and just your journey in general. Because, like, that's the really important part, is to see, like, the growth within our youth, just to see the power that they have and the goals that they're wanting to get to. And it's been lovely to get to chat with you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. It's been lovely. And I hope that more Greenlanders, they will have some kind of similar journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we need Nunavut's help.
Vibe. No problem.
Please sprinkle some decolonial
energy.
Send some people.
I'm sending a team. It's been so nice to spend time together.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right,
where can you find us?
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Pocket Podcast, Googling our name, spilling Labrador tea under cedar trees. I don't remember the other one.
Nope.
But I mean, you also can also access all of our episodes through our website, spillingtea.land.
Yep.
Do you guys have Instagram?
We do.
Can I take a picture? Like,
yes,
of course you can.
Just to my story. And I want I want a lot of Greenlanders to listen to this one.
Of course, we would love all the support, and we want you to feel supported throughout this, and make sure that your story is heard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can also please follow us. We are trying to get our followers on Instagram up to 1,000. We would love that. So follow us on Spilling Lab Tea under Cedar Trees. And then also that's our TikTok handle. So
it is.
Ooh, I got it. And
what else? There was another thing I wanted to say. Where you can find us. Oh, also don't forget to rate us. That's what I wanted to say.
Yes, rate.
Rate
them right now.
Rate, subscribe, like, tell a friend.
Tell two friends.
Come after you. Yeah, exactly. Tell two friends. And also, folks, we're getting close to the end of season 2.
Yep, we have a couple more episodes, and then that's a wrap.
Yep.
Oh my, is this the whole season about decolonial, or is it
colonialism across the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So as always, it's wonderful to have you coming back to listen, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.
Namoltis.